What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hey, what's up? It's Ray.
And I'm wondering, God damn, fuck me up again. I'm wondering why the smallest guy gets his own couch. Now that she's in Japan, we gotta rearrange shit around here.
When is she coming back?
It's not great over here, let me tell you.
What are the problems over there?
Okay, I have to make like a full 90-degree turn with my neck to see the screen,
right.
That's true. Yeah. For me, it's fucking dank, dude. Boom.
You guys are just looking right at it. Plus, I can't see some of the screen because the lighting's in the way. We gotta fix that.
You have a nice Soylent holder, though.
That's true. Table. Yeah, I do have the table over here.
We have no tables over here.
Well, we got to get one back.
We're living like paupers over here.
Yeah, dude, we need tables. Like one here, black, and yours for your drink, because then it looks like you peed on the freaking...
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Is my mic low, by the way? I need to put it really close to my face right now.
So I can turn it up.
Family member was like, no chi? And I was like, I was like, no, chi's in Japan. And then I was thinking... Is there cheese in Japan?
That's so stupid.
But is there? The entire time I was in Thailand, 2 weeks, no cheese, dude.
Well, they do have like the best cows in the world. I guess they have to have some milk, right? Or are they super against
milk.
It?
I think they have milk. No, they're not against it.
Yeah, I don't think they're big on
dairy. But think of all the Japanese cuisine you've had, no cheese.
Yeah, a lot of fish.
Yeah, no, it's... No.
Yep. And time for some games. So we have some sponsors. One of them is me. I'm sponsoring the podcast. So Insidious, it's my hot sauce. Check it out. We have a 10% coupon. Everything we're going to talk about, just go to dlgaming.net. Even if you just want to get more involved with the podcast, you want to see what we look like, you want to put faces to the names, want to look at the Patreon, all that stuff, dlgaming.net, and then there's a link on there that says Insidious, and that'll get you the 10% off. And then some of the proceeds are going to go back into the podcast, too. So,
we'll put links to Insidious on the show notes of the podcast as well. So if you're listening on your phone, just scroll down, and you'll see it there.
And that's 10% off your entire order.
Is it like a Cyber Monday thing?
No, this is going to be ongoing. So I can track how much the DL Gaming is supporting me and keeping me from being a pauper as well.
Wait, Cyber Week, I guess.
Yeah. Cyber Week.
So no new Patreons this week, but we got our first subscription of the day, Recycled. Thank you very much. 16 months. Might be the record.
That reminds me, I haven't subscribed in a while. So I think. I'm not sure. I'm not 100.
Is it still difficult to tell on iPhones, or there's some sort of difficulty with that?
Yeah, there's no way to do it.
He says PewDiePie got his house raided in Japan. That's got to be somebody trolling him, right? That's like a SWAT. It's got to be. I would imagine.
I don't know, dude. They're like, unless he did something or they didn't like something on his YouTube channel, they might have freaked out and just sent cops over there.
They're very strict over there, for sure.
All right. So let's talk about... On the radar, games that have come to our attention this week, either old or new. I think most of these are new, though. First one I wanted to bring up is called Earthbreakers. Somebody had, I think, brought this up in our Discord, which is where all the action's at. Got to check that out if you haven't yet.
Again, dlgaming.net. There's a permanent link there.
Yep. So Earthbreakers is by Petroglyph. Now, these are the guys that are famous for the Command & Conquer games. They recently made that Conan Unconquered game, which I actually liked. So this is actually an FPS in an RTS world is what they are advertising it as. It is a PvP game. They had a good description down here on the Steam page. Earthbreakers is a team-based PvP multiplayer game, which combines the most enjoyable elements of FPS and RTS.
This has been tried quite a few times. I don't think there's ever been like a standout blowout hit that tried to blend these two, but technically it sounds awesome. Like, the problem is you have a commander that's telling everybody where to go, and if those guys are like Ray, they're not going to listen. Mm-mm. They're going to go off and do their own thing because they want to be the hero and get the top score.
Exactly.
So you always run into that problem.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah.
No, I'm wrong.
Well, it depends. I mean, Are you wrong if you go and kill the entire team? No, you weren't wrong.
No, but
if you die, yeah, you were wrong.
Like, this is just totally off, you know, but like, for instance, when we would play PUBG, which is completely different, yeah. I know, but right. still, you worked the squad.
Right.
But we would always have Incidus run off and do his own shit, right. and he would just piss us off. And because of him doing that, it would make the whole team lose. So it didn't really help us out
yeah.
at the
That's
end.
That's usually what happens. Usually the games are designed so that you have a better chance of winning if you play as a team.
Bobby, what was the one that it was an RT? It was exactly this. It was an RTS that first person, and then there was aliens versus humans.
Natural selection too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that one it really worked because, well, if you had a good commander and you had good minions, and they were doing everything you that needed to be done, that was a great game. So if they can, it can be pulled off. Just hopefully they do it right here.
Yeah, now looking at this game, Earthbreakers, it really resembles Command & Conquer. Like, that looks like the Harvester from Command & Conquer, the weaponry.
Command & Conquer cel-shaded, Bobby?
No, well, I don't know. Command & Conquer, when I played it, was like late 90s.
Yeah, so, this is cel-shaded, super cartoony looking.
Kind of Borderlands looking a little bit.
Yeah, I guess it's...
Play the video, dude. If you watch it in whatever.
In motion.
Yeah, motion. Thank you. See?
Yeah. So they're definitely trying to go for that Command & Conquer look. There is no price on it. There's no release date other than 2020. So it'll be...
Done when it's done.
It's a little ways off, but... You know, depending on the price point, I'd be interested in checking this out. And I did like Conan Unconquered, so they've got some good credit there. And it's it kind of depends on the PvP, like how many people on each team that could make or break it for me. Because I don't want anything too wide scale. I really appreciate those games that do PvP with like small groups. I think it works better that way.
This looks pretty big.
That's what she said.
Hey.
Hey, so they did add it, but sorry. Subscribe button now on the Apple, on the iOS.
Oh, cool.
And so for those English speakers, it's button.
Bitch. Did I say that one right?
Thanks.
Yeah. Bitch.
It's me, Jeff, for the subscription. I say that right, bitch.
It's me, Jeff, yeah. 4 months, nice. So yeah, I don't know. If anything, just Command & Conquer nostalgia might bring me back to this one.
He's asking if you can harvest Tiberium. I would think that would be some sort of like...
I'm guessing what that purple substance is right there, perhaps.
It's now called Tiberium Plus or something.
Yeah, it looks like a harvester, I suppose. All right, next game. This was recommended by JP Diddy.
That's what Rubber Nuts drives, by the way. Those giant earth movers?
I thought he drove the trash can drum truck.
No, he drives one of those.
Oh,
in a giant mine.
Because they throw it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's old school.
Yeah. So, to put it into perspective, my trailer, my black one, can take about 4 yards. Those things have like 154 yards that I can fit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, nobody else can... The vast majority of people don't know what I'm talking about. But look up Earth Mover. It's like a gigantic
I imagined him like in the ones here. Like the little with the little crane thing. Not the crane thing, but like the little claw throws a trash can in there. That's what I thought he was doing.
No, I imagine him in a cartoon car for something.
Damn it, I imagine that too.
All right. Controlled Pair is coming in with the 8 months.
Damn, look at all the subs coming in. Oh, you know what? It's a new month. That's why. It's the first, right?
Oh, yeah.
Get those subs in, bitches.
All right. Next up is Until You Fall. Now, this is a game JP Diddy posted in our Discord. It is a roguelike VR game. Hack and slash roguelike VR game.
Huh. Is it multiplayer?
I don't believe so.
He told me he was having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, you can buy it right now. For a VR game, it's kind of cheap, $13.99. Well, it's on sale right now because they're having that huge autumn sale.
Yeah,
so sale. $20 regularly. Compatible with all the usual VR kits, it looks like, Vive, Index, and Rift.
If you heard Ray go, right now. It's because he just realized he has to buy another game.
No, it's like, okay, so we have the sale going on right now, and it ends tomorrow at 10 in the morning, I believe, either yeah. Eastern or Pacific time. I don't know. But it's done tomorrow. The first day, I was like, oh, my God, sale. And you know me, I get excited. So my cart was just like $300 worth of games. And I'm like, yes, credit card. And I was like, wait, no, no, wait, no. And I started just throwing one away and went away. And I was like, you know what? I want to focus on VR for this sale. I'm just going to get VR games. And I'm down to $130 right now. And like, I think I was even on Discord. And I was like, all right, guys, I'm going to try to go for only $100. And then, I don't know, I think it was Saturday or Friday when I was supposed to pull the trigger. I was just like, what am I doing? And I started like contemplating life. And then I sat on, you know.
Tell us all about it. Here, actually, put your heads up here and put your head. Bobby is going to give you some
I was just therapy. Like, it was just crazy. I got super drunk. And no, I'm joking. But it was just, but I want those
games.
Well,
you're about to you might be taking a life risk. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
So we'll see.
A life risk?
Yeah, dude. That's
were you crazy. Gonna like go bungee jumping or something?
Leaving your job and trying to make your own business?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to like do some X game shit or something.
Look at me.
Russian roulette all by myself just for the fuck of it.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Maybe not the time to be Dude, then the thing about it is there's going to be a winter sale coming up in like 2.5 weeks, so no rush.
Yeah, I know.
And then that's there's right. always another sale right around
this
the corner.
One's pretty good for just being a random autumn sale or whatever that it is.
Yeah, $14 is really cheap, but it looks like you can, it's a roguelike, so as you battle these enemies in like a VR hack and slash environment, you get these power-ups, and you can power up, I guess, in different ways. I'm assuming, I don't know, this is all that I'm picking apart from screenshots and what they have on the Steam page. And, you know, when you die, you lose it all, obviously. So, you know, I don't know if anything persists through each life.
I still haven't played any of these, like, hack and slash type games in VR. I still have not. It's been all guns for me. I still haven't done, like, Gorn.
Gorn looks awesome.
Like, you own it. You haven't played it?
I think I got it for free. Somebody's gave it to me. I never played it though.
Like it's like, so I still haven't tried it.
Gladiatorial game.
Yeah and then there's another one.
It's really well reviewed as well.
There's another one like Hellblade or something. I forgot what it's called. Duck was telling me about it, and that one looks really fun. It's like Gorn, but like more realistic, and you're fighting these really cool like undead. What's really sick too.
But what about the bar fight one? Isn't that melee combat game?
Well, yeah, I guess, but that's just more fun, man.
Yeah,
that's just
goofing off.
Yeah, because I swear you cannot knock these guys out. It's impossible. Like, you punch the shit out of them, and you just can't. They don't die. And
it's how long you can survive, really, right?
Yeah, it is, but it's just, I've never been able to beat it. Like, I've gotten really far, and then something random, like a cop comes in, or like some guy just can't randomly, like, falls on me, hits my toe, and that was my last part of HP, and I just die, you know? It's just really weird stuff.
If you guys are wondering what we're looking, that's one you should go check out on YouTube. It's called Bar Fight?
Drunk Bar Fight.
Drunk Bar Fight. It's a VR game. And when we were playing it, like, we would get to the point where somebody's hiding behind the bar holding bottles and just swinging it at the patrons that are so trying to come funny. Over like zombies. It's hilarious. Or just throwing stuff. And then how do you start a fight? Like, it just happens, right?
Yeah, you just punch someone, right? But
why would you punch them? Like, can you just chill?
For no reason. You're just so, like, the first thing you do is start drinking a bunch. And you just start pouring the alcohol on you. And you just start, like, the more you drink, the bigger you get. And the stronger you get. Okay. And you just start messing everyone up. And, like, I think you can get knocked down, like, 2-3 times until, like, you can't pick yourself up again. Because when you get knocked down, you see yourself on the ground. And then you grab the controllers and pick yourself up.
Oh, right, like your spirit.
Yeah, and like you pick your like, and then you can start fighting again. And they have like a Halloween version of it too, where you're fighting zombies all the way to the end, or it's like there's one, or like the regular ones, just random people. And then now they added like other venues, like a wedding. You can get fucked up at a wedding and just be the dick fighting the band. It's just really dumb, but it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's not that much of a fun game where you yourself, I'm just going to beat the shit out of people. You know, you got problems and you're going to do that. But it's fun to have, like, people there and showing it to, hey, watch, go in here.
It's a good party game.
Yeah, it's a good party game.
Even though it's only a single person.
Yeah, well, I think there's a multiplayer remote to it now. I'm not sure. I haven't really touched it as much anymore. But it's fun.
All right, last up, we've got Starship Troopers, Terran.
What the?
Our Starship Troopers Terran Command is a survival RTS based on the movie.
Yeah, survival RTS. That, I guess that means it's a wave survival, isn't it, Bobby? I read the article. It didn't really specify exactly why survival's in there, but I would imagine that you make a base and you're supposed to out-survive.
Maybe. I don't know.
The Endless. Anyway, from what I saw, it looks dope. I've always loved Starship Troopers. I love the first movie. Don't ask Chad about his opinion. He fucking hates it so bad because it's his favorite book of all time, and in his eyes, they ruined it. But anyway, this looks dope, man. There's mechs and shit, and it's, you know, holding off endless waves of fucking nasty-ass alien creatures. Sign me up. This is the kind of RTS I like. I like single-player RTS because I crumble under pressure. Hmm. I'll set this on easy and have a good day.
I wonder if it's like... No, it doesn't look like they're holding out in a base.
No, there are bases.
Some of them it looks like it, but not all of them. It doesn't look like Conan Unconquered, where it's all about just setting up your base and the waves come towards you. I mean, you can go out and try and kill them, but
that's what my guess is, though.
Yeah, maybe. All right, this game is coming in 2020.
Another 2020.
Oh, that was, yeah. I always forget that was directed by Paul Verhoeven.
We're almost done for the year, right, with games.
Yeah, we got to decide if we're going to do that thing for December where we play each other's game of the year.
Yeah, because
I think that's really good.
Tomorrow, Halo comes out, and that can't be Halo, the game of the year, so that really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got to talk after the podcast.
All right. Okay, that's it for On the Radar. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing. Who wants to go first?
I feel like we need some energy, guys. Wake the fuck up.
We need some more booze. Oh, you're not done with yours.
No. I've been like looking for other news. It's because there were like some stuff I saw over the week that I just couldn't remember right now when we were doing the notes.
That's why you put it in the notes. I see it.
But I wasn't there. You know, a lot of the times where I'm like,
where?
The best stuff that I read on my phone is when I'm pooping, right? Yeah. And I don't have access to the notes.
Copy
when I'm
paste.
No, you don't have can't.
Google Drive on your phone?
Or just text us?
I don't. I can't really concentrate. I'm concentrating on one thing, not the other. All right.
No, you know what it is? I think you poop better when you're not concentrating. That's why, like, reading, it's like, it's relaxing. Mm-hmm. But then if you gave yourself a task, like texting us, then you clench up. You're like, oh, I got to get this done.
And then it won't come out.
Yeah. Because you don't even get one thing done at a time. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but I'm also one of the ones that take, like, half an hour in there.
Okay, you have plenty of time, dude.
I know, right? I should be able to.
What percentage of your shits do you take at work?
Oh, shit, dude. I did get an email once, and they were like, hey, Ray, we've noticed you taking a long time in the bathroom, and the first thing I said was like, that's none of your business, or I'll contact HR. And they were just like, okay, and they just left it there.
Yeah.
But, because, you know, it could be a medical reason or anything.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
It could be.
Yeah, it's not for me, but, no, I do poop a lot, but, I mean, I'm one of those guys that just really has to, like, I want to be 100% sure I'm good. I don't want to go back in there, like, an hour later or 2 hours later. Or I want to make sure everything's out.
Listen, you're not on trial here, man. You don't got to...
Fuck my job.
All right. So, I played Team Fortress 2 this week. That was a lot.
Oh, did you?
Did I?
Dude, you probably put in at least 6 hours yesterday.
Yeah, I played a lot. What happened was I was playing Jedi Fallen Order, and I'm getting through that game. If you listened last Friday, we caught up with Minnie to see how he was doing. He'd been playing a lot of Jedi Fallen Order, and we had a whole discussion about that. And, you know, that game I'm still on the fence about. I'm not, like, dying to play it. And then for some weird reason, I had the craziest urge to play that game. And this happens every so often. TF2, Left 4 Dead, these kind of games that just... were so big and I loved so much, and just every now and then it's like, I got to get back into this. So I downloaded it. That game is huge now. So much hard drive space. I mean, not compared to like...
Compared Jedi to the Fallen original Order. Download.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so I played it, absolutely loved it, like didn't fall off at all. Like I just fell right back into it. And, you know, they've made some changes. The last time we talked about it was when they did that whole campaign past the Mercenary Park. You spend $5 and you get these contracts where you can unlock basically skins for weapons. You know, kind of cool. And they had two new maps that were really good. But what I've noticed that's very different now, this time returning to it, it's so the quality of games have been so much better. The way you queue up, like you, I used to just go to the server list and just scroll through what has low ping, a lot of players playing a map I like. But the problem is you end up getting on a lot of servers that have like lowered respawn time or other weird like audio
modded stuff.
Yeah. Modded stuff, like slightly modded stuff.
Slightly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of kills the balance of the game. So what you do now is you go to, do you want to play casual or competitive? You click on one of them, then it shows, okay, click here to queue up and check all the boxes of things you want to play, whether it be payload or capture the flag or whatever mode. And then you can even uncheck specific maps. So I just leave everything checked. I hit find a game. I'm in a game in like 5 seconds, and it's a well-balanced game because whoever's queuing up, they're like, okay, this game needs people, that one needs people, this side needs the people, that side needs people. Like the game is doing all the work to balance all the teams. You're getting in like Valve server games, so there's no weird mods going, and I've just been having the best games that I've ever had in TF2, and it's been so much fun.
And I joined you for about 2 hours of that, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I would say, yeah, man, the balancing and the teams just seem to work, except for server die off, which I mean, it's hard to battle that.
Yeah, what'll happen is someone will stomp, and then a whole bunch of people will leave.
Yeah,
and what happens with that is like the game will find a whole bunch more people to put in. Like I've seen that happen, and I've stuck with the server so long that I've seen it kind of cycle through, and then all of a sudden you'll get all these people dumped in, and you know, it'll fill back up. So if you hang with it, it'll be fine. It's not nearly as bad as it was. Sniper even joined us for a little bit. It was his first time playing Team Fortress 2. Like he missed out on that.
What's this fire guy?
It's so weird to play with someone who just does not, you know, doesn't have a history with that game, because that was such a formative part of most gamers. I mean, 2007 was when the game originally came out, and I think it went free to play 2011.
Sure.
And it was like the first game to go free to play. It was like before everything was free to play.
It wasn't later than that? No?
Maybe 2012 at the latest, 2012. But it was right before everything, like the whole free-to-play explosion. Yeah. And everyone was
people were like, what?
Yeah.
This is free now? I remember reading articles about what this meant and all this stuff.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. And the game has just changed so much throughout the years, and it's just in such a great spot right now. And it's just, like, I might just leave it installed, but I kind of risk just going back and playing it, because I could burn hours on that game. The moment-to-moment, like, adrenaline rush you have in that game, and that combined with the fact that you really don't care. Like, if you lose, like, not a big deal, because I'm still having fun. You know, maybe it's not as fun, but it's not like a MOBA where you're just, like, everything hinges on this. If I lose this game, you know, it's like a slow, depressing loss throughout an hour, you know? That's like a MOBA.
And funny enough, I didn't feel... Because a lot of times you go back to a super old game and you're just going up against super badass ninjas that have been playing this nonstop and you can't even compete. And we were at the top of the scoreboard the majority of the time.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. We were crushing it. Like we did back in the day, too. I remember we played during 2010 when that earthquake hit.
Yeah.
And everyone on the server was like, oh, what's that? Because it was an LA server.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we were, you know, I was playing medic. You were playing, like, some sort of damage class. So, of course, we were killing it.
Yeah.
But, you know how I know Bobby was playing Team Fortress Class this week? His Twitter post. He was like, played Team Fortress Class, like, a classic. Yep, I'm still a badass medic or some shit like that.
Yeah. Like, and Bobby does this guy. Not brag ever. Never brags.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding, man. You played you saw me melee some people with the medic Uber saw and get on the mic and have to start telling everybody what to do at times.
He, you ran down a bridge and you killed three dudes with the fucking saw.
Oh yeah, I messed them up. Yeah. I got if you do it on a defensive cap too, you get points for it.
Crazy,
it perfect because that's what my contract was. So, yeah, dude, I'm dangerous on the medic. I'm still so good at that game. It's crazy. Like,
do you run the default kit? Do you have the syringe gun and the?
Almost always, it's my favorite one, but I like running crits. Crits is like, oh, let's have some fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, I'm at the secondary and the third. Do you run?
Oh, no. For the melee, I use the Uber Saw, which if when you hit people with it, it gives you a charge on your
but it does less damage?
I don't know what the trade-off is.
There's got to be a trade-off for it.
Yeah, I think it's less damage, but you always aim for the head with that anyway and go for the crit. Like, really, that's a last resort, dude, all right? Yeah. That's like Papa Roach last resort. Like, you never want to go melee with a medic. It's that's like just Papa suicide.
This resort. Is my last resort.
It is, which is why it's so exciting. It's my favorite part about that game is pulling out the
I think
Uber
that song came out in 2007, too.
Because it's like you're back in the corner. There's no way out, you know? It's just like...
And you run syringe
suffocation,
gun?
No breathing. Yeah, no, I still run syringe gun, but I did start warming up to the crossbow. Man, I love playing medic. I could seriously play that. I could retire and play that game for the rest of my life.
I'm so bad. I'm sorry, I stepped on your joke. Did I know you were going for it?
You know, I've never played Team Fortress 2.
Oh, you're insane, dude. Oh, you got to play with us. It's so much.
It's just, you know, the classic was fun for a while. And then Counter-Strike came out, and then I just did not care about any like thing from Valve anymore. Yeah. So it's just,
I don't think you'd have that much fun, dude, because you're very much into the tactical shit.
Yeah,
and this is
pretty
wacky. As cartoony as it gets.
Yeah.
I don't mind
look
it.
At what we're looking at.
I know, right? I played a lot of Overwatch, so, you know, it's like, I guess.
Yeah, it's comparable to Overwatch, or maybe even Fortnite, I might go as far as say. I don't know. But it's definitely a lighter tone. Yeah, dude. So I just had a blast with Team Fortress 2. I want to like bookend it and just be like, oh, that was great. I'll just come back to this later again. But I still really want to play that game. But it's just like,
dude,
I got to move on.
You're so right in that, like, at a certain moment, I was like, I can't think of another game that is fun. This fun moment to moment.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Like, the moment to moment is what it's all about. It's just like, it's never been topped for me.
And not that I want to, like, encourage it, but
do they keep adding content to this to the day?
Well, not super,
not a lot. So they have big updates. Like that one contract thing was like a year or two ago, and then there's a lot of community made maps, and some of them are so good and get so popular that they kind of roll that into the regular rotation and make it kind of an official map as well. But and then they have like holiday events, we usually revolving around skins and stuff, but. Yeah, it's still a great game, man. And I'll probably leave it installed. So if we want to get a DLG crew going, let me know. Yeah, and it's great playing medic too, because nobody ever wants to play medic. That's really how I started playing that class.
And now you've played medic in like any Modern Warfare shit that comes out.
It's kind of solidified my role as the support character. Yeah. I guess was just having to play medic, because you can't go in with an unbalanced team like. If someone's not playing medic, then you're probably going to lose, you know. But yeah, so that was fun. And then to totally counterbalance that, I got into a game called Pixel Puzzles Traditional Jigsaws. And this is a literal puzzle game. Like, it's actually a puzzle that you put together digitally on screen. And it's pretty good. It's actually pretty good.
Are you trolling us? No, Bobby.
I just looked at a cat.
I thought
a little thought cute cat.
I thought the spelling race cars. I thought maybe the spelling race cars was a troll. This has got to be a troll. There's a lion with a deer, dude.
That's the puzzle I'm working on. So they have DLC. The cats are DLC. Obviously, I would have done the cats if I could have. But this is free to play unless you want to get certain puzzles. It's DLC.
I don't know. I don't know how to react to this.
And it really so I like puzzles in real life.
Tearing up, guys. I don't think he would be tearing up if this was a legitimate.
He's trolling us. He's fucking trolling us.
This was a legit,
he's cracking up right now. Look at that.
If this is legitimate,
because you guys are just like in disbelief.
I think I felt Bobby's game of the year.
I don't think this was. Oh, it was 2019. All right, this is in the running. It's Disco Elysium,
dude. This is, no, you obviously have this long con going, starting with the typing race car game.
No, dude, this is actually I like doing puzzles in real life. Like I I occasionally, usually during summer when I have more time, I'll put one together. And, you know, I like to do really hard ones, like 1,000-piece or something. And this actually mimics that experience very well for being in a digital environment. The only thing, and this is going to sound like hard to explain, but the only thing that is not quite as good is when you're doing a puzzle, obviously standard strategy is look for all the edge pieces, corner pieces, you know, that's easy, build the frame. But when you find similar pieces, you kind of pile them together.
He's fucking
and then you then you put them together. You know, you can like link them together, but in this you can't put any pieces, you can't lock them together unless you actually put them in the right spot. Is that, it's kind of hard to
explain. That's how real life works too.
Man. No, like if this puzzle piece goes in like somewhere in the top left corner,
you can't
connect it to another puzzle
piece. Because you're able to like set them aside, right? Instead of making that line and then connect it, but so here you
like,
can't.
I'll connect like maybe four or five puzzle pieces.
Right. Shut the fuck cluster. Up, just go with it, dude.
Why are you humoring him?
Just go with it, dude.
I mean, other than that, this is the perfect puzzle experience. If you're looking for puzzles,
you never know.
We've
maybe,
all been waiting
dude,
for it.
Dude, you know, you what never do you know. Mean? Fucking if next
you've been
week.
Waiting. Everybody's been waiting for
dude,
this, Bobby.
You never know. Maybe there's been like 100 fucking listeners out there that just been waiting for this moment. They go like, holy shit, DLG does puzzle games? I'm in. Subscribers, yeah. Patreons yeah. right now.
It's all good.
Up the ass.
Boom, boom, boom. Right okay.
Those 57 people playing right now are fucking listening to the podcast now. I know it.
Hello? Ferrari's calling, dude. They want us to start driving their puzzle car around.
What? Oh my god. All right, that game again is Pixel Puzzles Traditional Jigsaws. Highly recommend it. All right, if you like puzzles. Do you guys not play, like, do puzzles?
He's fucking with us. He's fucking with us, dude.
I don't even know, man. I don't even know anymore.
Neither do we.
We haven't known from the beginning. Oh my god!
I have to push the mic away from my face because then you hear my high pitched laughing the
How
whole
do
time.
I follow that?
Oh my god!
How do I follow
I don't know, dude. And that was the show. Fuck.
Thank you. Good night.
Titty.
Puzzle titty.
Jigsaw titty. Man, we got to call him Bobby Jigsaw now. Oh my god.
All right. Well, let's talk about Hand of Fate 2. Now, this isn't a new game. We've talked about this before, right?
Yeah, we have. Well, we played the first one, and I liked it. Oh, man. Hold on. Let me compose myself.
Yeah, dude. I even got, like, goosebumps. Is that weird?
You must really like puzzles, too.
Okay. All right. This is not the order I wanted to do them in. I put them in the wrong one. I wanted to get something new for this week. And so I bought three games. You know, roguelike usually is what I'm looking for. And like, I'm trying to get my breath. Fission Superstar X is the first one that I started off. Can we try that, Bobby?
Yeah, let me bring that up.
And this is a really weird game when you look at it. And then when you play it, it's super weird, too. The animation style is like one of these crazy cartoons that's on like Cartoon Adult Swim or something. And it's a game like it's a roguelite and it's a lot like one of those games where you're a spaceship and you fly sideways like this, but you're a little spaceship.
Like R-Type and
R-Type.
Gradius.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All that stuff.
R-Type, yeah. Gradius, thank you very much. Yeah. Except for you're like a really big ship. You're like a pretty big... It's weird. You take up about 20% of the screen. And so dodging isn't really much of a thing. It's more about like using your shields at the right times. But everything is super fucking weird. Like all the aliens are fucking out there. If you like crazy animation,
that's gnarly.
Yeah, I would probably check it out.
That looks awesome.
But the actual game itself, I just didn't get it. It has really good reviews, and that's why I bought it. but my abdomen's starting to calm down now.
What's the price tag on this game?
I think it was like
$15 on sale for 10 right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think I paid like 12 because I bought it like last week during some other sale. But anyway, I didn't get it, guys. I don't know. Check it out if like weird animation's your thing. The roguelike, I kept it under 2 hours and I returned it just because I think I gave it the whole 2 hours. I just did not get it. I don't know why people are liking it, but there's only 82 people, you know?
Yeah.
But it just keeps popping up on my feed, but I guess because of the roguelike thing. Mm-hmm. So I had to check it out.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit of those levels in Cuphead too. Just that game style. Developer of this is Turbo Pelvis 3000. Interesting.
Yeah, they're a weird crew of people for sure. Hmm. Okay. And then after that, I returned that. I tried another one, which was Dicey Dungeons, which is another super weird game. So you're a die. That's the singular for dice. And
really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And you come in as the adventurer or the robot or the rogue, or I didn't get the orange one. And you're on this game show, and you go adventuring on the game show, and it's all about dice rolls and adding modifiers to those dice. So basically deconstructing D&D all the way down to the base, just dice on one-on-one battles. And it was cool, but not enough. I kept running into this wall where like I was like, I have so many thousands of games or hundreds of games, thousands with Bobby's. Am I really going to be playing this past the 2 hour mark? And again, overwhelmingly positive, very positive, all reviews overwhelmingly recently. And yeah, I was just like, I'm not going to play this past, you know, a few hours. So that's the only reason that I returned it. But you could see the, you can see the appeal, but it just wasn't for me to hold on forever. Mm-hmm. Finally, I've been holding off on Hand of Fate 2 because it's always so expensive. It's $25. And you think, you know, for a game like this, is it worth it? But you look at the graphics, you see where the voiceover, you can see where the money went, like for sure, or where they're trying to recoup the money. The graphics are really good. Let me explain the game a little bit. You're playing a card game one-on-one versus a guy across from you. And in that, you run into bad guys. And when you run into bad guys, you go into a different mode where you actually combat those people in, like, I would say kind of like a Batman-esque way, like a combo system where, oh, I haven't even ran into traps yet. This is cool. It's like a dungeon with traps and stuff. And so you go through the level and, you know, depending on which direction you choose in the dungeon, it's not really a dungeon. It's a set of cards out in front of you. You have to do different things like roll dice, or sometimes you have to go into an actual battle, and you can do things to modify your dice roll. Although at the end of the day, even if you roll super duper bad and everything was shitty, you go into that last battle. If you play your heart out, you don't get hit, you're going to win. So you can outskill the dice. But at the same time, they definitely help a lot. Like, I finally died, and it's because I starved to death. I used too much. I couldn't travel. In order to travel, you need food, and I ran out of food. And so it was kind of long-term strategy that got me. I couldn't even get to the fight to lose. So now I know for the next time. As you play, the thing that I found weird, but I'm starting to like more, is that you choose the things that are going to happen to you in the next adventure based off of the ones that you already did. But also, you're unlocking new ones all the time. So, like, if you did a mini event, like a room, what's it called? Room. If there's a room that you already did that you thought was easy, you could throw it in there and know that you can pass that room easily. There's no guarantee you're going to run into it, but it's in the deck. And so you're almost building your opponent's deck for you. But then again, you always want to see the new things. And I think the rewards are higher for new cards. So as you unlock stuff, you're just throwing them in his deck, adding to the adventure. The first ones that I did were like five events, five equipment. And now I'm getting to the 10 events, 10 equipment. And so the combat isn't like super intense, but it's enough to like, you know, keep you on point. And you can definitely tell when you get a new item, it's like huge. And I don't know how much more to explain this. It's a very weird game. It's different. But I like the dichotomy between action, then thinking, then action, then thinking. It's a nice roller coaster of gameplay. So I'm going to keep playing this.
So this game's $30.
$30.
It's on sale right now for $18, but $30.
Yeah, wow. Man.
I own the first one. Is there?
It's good. I like that one too. But the graphics are much better on this one. And the. Mm-hmm. And
but the, you know, by me saying I own the first one, it's just there in my library. I'm never going to play it ever. Yeah. You know, but it's there. I don't know how I got it. I know I didn't buy it.
The first one definitely made its rounds in bundles. I got a copy of it too. Cannot remember where. I think I gave away a few of these. The first one was really popular too. Like a lot of people really enjoyed that game. And the sequel seems like a step up, but also a big step up in price as well.
Yeah, for sure. Although the first one wasn't cheap at first either, I remember. Because something I was always looking at.
Yeah. All right. And you had a chance to play a little bit of Maelstrom as well.
Very little. I mean, when I say little, I'm...
It loaded.
Me and Sniper probably played five games or something like that.
Okay. Well, how long does a game last? Because this is... We talked about this last week. This is the aquatic or the seafaring 3v3 MOBA, where you have three people on your team, their boats, and you battle against... Like another group, two other groups?
I don't even see the MOBA side of it, man. I don't think there's any MOBA in it that I can see. I mean, I've heard the description for this game go that way, but I don't see it. So it's 3v3v3, and then there's monsters. But we never even got to the point where there's monsters, because the only MOBA-esque part is that you have to grind. I guess you don't have to, but you grind before you go into battle. So there's these like NPC boats that you go and you take them out. They put a little bit of a fight up, but they drop mad loot, like you can see right there. And all that stuff is like, you know, it helps you out. You can go a little bit faster. You can shoot some more bullets, all that kind of stuff. And then, but while you're looting, you can get somebody can get the drop on you at any point. Or you can go maybe bypass looting and then just go for the attack, which happened to us a couple of times. So... you know, you could all rush together. If you split up, you're done right away. Like a 3v2, it's just not going to work out. You have four different shot types, and all of them are on the same timer. So every 20 seconds or so, you can shoot one type of bullet. And the rest of the time is just kind of maneuvering and trying to get in the right position. And but it's more fast-paced than I'm making it out to be. Like, Our best one that we did, we did a little more grinding. When I say grinding, I mean, we're talking less than 3 minutes. We're grinding, you know, getting some more stuff, maybe 5 minutes passed. And we came upon the other two enemy teams already fighting. And we swept in there and we cleared out at least one of the teams and then killed a little bit more of the other team. And then they came back and killed us. Mm-hmm. But so there's all those kinds of strategies. Like, do we go in hard and fast? Do we wait? Do we build up our energy? Do we let them fight it out while we grind it out? So that sounds good.
Is there any progression outside of the game?
Like, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's how they make their money, you know?
Yeah. Does it seem like it's pay to win, though? Can you just buy that stuff?
I can't say that I played enough to know to say that definitively. But what I do know about MMOs, FPS, I'm sorry, free-to-play MMOs on Steam, is that if they're not good, they get shat on crazy. They're always mostly negative or, you know, almost always. So it's very rare that one of these gets a very positive, and that's where this one is sitting. We had no problems getting into a game. I don't know what the monsters do. I don't, because we never got to that point. We got cleared out pretty quick usually. But there's people playing. You could jump into a game pretty easily. We were kind of rushing through the tutorial, so I can't say it's a bad tutorial. But I didn't know what was going on probably half of the time. But I can't say it's bad. Check it out. It's free. It's very fast paced.
It's a good looking game too.
Yeah. I really want to know what the monsters, like, what that's for. I don't know what role they play.
Yeah. All right.
Or Sniper says it's the best shit he's ever played in his life, but I think there's a little hyperbole there.
Well, he's never played TF2 before, so.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Ray, you've been playing some VR.
So, yeah. So, ever since this whole, like, you know, Half-Life Alyx and everyone getting excited, I've been getting a lot of messages, too, by the way, from people asking me what's up with, should they buy the Valve Index? What's the pros? What are the cons? Everything. And I've been giving everyone kind of, like, the same answer. It's, like, the pros is just, you know, it's great. I've used the Vive
all Pro.
I've used all of them. Well, except for the new Quest. I haven't used the Quest.
Yeah.
I haven't used the Quest.
You use the Oculus whatever?
No. And like, I used the original Oculus.
Oh, okay.
And like the version 2 or whatever the hell it was.
Okay. Yeah, I remember.
The original ones. But you know, I tell them the same thing. It's just like the Valve Index is great. It looks great. If you went to DLGCon, you would have tried it out. And people that own, you know, Vives were like, dude, you know, there's it looks great. You know, people were loving it.
Yeah.
And these are people that own, you know, like the Vive Pro and stuff. So, you know, it's a great system, you know. And then the downfall is it's still VR. It's still hard. You know, it's just it's hard to work with. I know everyone's buying it now. I read articles where like it's what's selling out everywhere in like in certain regions because like the I guess indexes, you know it, yeah. Yeah, the index is selling out. People are buying it. People are excited by Alyx. It's I'm excited that people are really gonna, you know, finally start playing this. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give my index more time. And I was talking to someone on the Discord. I was talking to Darth Duck, and I was like, you know what, I want to play some Arizona Sunshine. I'm halfway through the game. You want to finish it? And you know, there's like a probably like a 15 minute part that I did not play because I skipped over it because I went straight to his game. But I played Arizona Sunshine. Finally, it's been out for what, a couple years now, 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Yeah,
it's been out for a while.
First like full on game.
Yeah,
it really felt like a game.
It did, and that's what I liked about it. And it's very, very immersive to the point where when I'm opening doors, I'm moving out of the way. Because it just makes me yeah. Make me really move out of the way.
As the longer you're in VR world, the more immersed
you get. Yeah, of course. And this game, even though you might look at the videos and think, "Oh, these graphics don't look as realistic," it doesn't matter. The moment you're in there and you're just playing and you're doing all these things and you're holding these guns and I'm closing my eyes to aim these guns. Unless you know I'm going, you know, just balls out, just shooting everything. I don't give a fuck. And just, you know, I do that with the Uzis. Just go out, you know, yeah. Like crazy. But so I was thinking I'm going to start doing more reviews on VR because a lot of people are going to start buying VR now. So I don't mind doing old games. So, and I have a group of like old VR games. Ooh, and that's newer cool. Games.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, we were, okay. So Arizona Sunshine is really fun. A lot of VR games, it lets you choose if you want to travel with like the joystick on your controller or teleport. I still recommend teleporting more than anything. I know you guys want to run around, like if you're, but on, like, honestly, if you're not moving your feet, it feels like you're flying or floating. It feels really weird. Mm. So I still recommend teleporting more than anything. You get used to it right away. So if you don't like it at first, you'll like it later.
And can't you get away from monsters faster teleporting?
Yeah. Seems. Yeah. So once you, like, when I started playing this game again, it took me a while to, you know, do the teleporting because I was like, where am I going? You know, let me left or right. But then once you, you know, get the hang of it, you're just pressing up, 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 up all the time. You're just like, you know, you're just teleporting, like floating almost, but it doesn't feel bad. It feels fine. I tried using the running. That feels weird. It's not cool. It's kind of like Pavlov. It's just feels a little awkward. It comes
down to who you are, though. Like, I feel like some people would prefer the running.
But it's just, since you're not moving your feet, feels weird.
Yeah.
It feels so weird. Like
got you nauseous weird?
Yeah. Like or the first,
get you nauseous?
Like the first, like the, like, I guess the first time I tried it here in this game, it's kind of like, oh, okay, cool. And you just press forward and it's like, oh, it's like, I feel like I go backwards.
It's,
you know,
jarring.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. So teleporting's fine. This game's really neat. A lot of stuff to open, a lot of stuff to use as like, you know, blocking. It's, I want to see a 3 hour game. 3 hours to beat it, and it has co-op, and that's something I'd never done before.
I didn't know that it did,
and that was really neat because I was in there with Darth, and it was really fun. I was just watching him, and he was teaching me stuff that I didn't know about the game, like picking up like masks and stuff like that, which I didn't know. Or like, you know, we're trying to make it through this, like make it to Arizona, traveling through a military base, a cave, a bridge, some random resort, you know, the mines, you know, all these things, traveling through them. And then, but at the same time, we're like, oh, okay, here's an ammo box. We have 4 cartridges. We're grabbing them, and we're like, oh, okay, so you get one? Oh, damn, I grabbed 3. All right, hold up. And I bring one out. I'm like, here you go. And I throw it at him, and he catches me. All right, cool, dope, dude. And we were just trying to do
so immersive, right?
Yeah, man. It's so neat. Like,
so what does he look like? Does he look like a pair of guns, or does he look like a full-on
model? No, it's a full-on person. Yeah, oh, wow. It's a full-on model. It's just, up, you know, don't expect, like, damn, some Half-Life model, dude, to be honest.
Right.
You know, it's just... Yeah. It's one of the first ones, so it doesn't look as great as a lot of the new games. But it's still very, very, very immersive. It's very fun. The accuracy on the shooting is really good.
That's the real breakout hero here in this game. I remember, you know, looking down a pistol, and you have to line up the sights.
You really have to line up the sights, yeah.
On a virtual gun. You have to line up the sights and, you know, put their head on at the end of it. And it fucking feels real. If you're a little bit off, you're going to miss by a little bit.
Yeah. And that's what I think I love the most about this one, was just with the aiming. Like,
you got the shooting right.
Yeah. Like, I wanted, a lot of the kills I wanted to do were from far, just to see how good my aim was. You know, because, like, you know, I like to shoot in real life. And so just trying to get these shots just made me feel really cool. Getting the sniper, that's a little weird. It's a little uncomfortable, but you get used to it. But Arizona Sunshine, if you're barely buying VR and this is, like, your first time, it's just a must-have. It's a great game. They've added a couple DLCs, like one or two DLCs to it, which is right now are very cheap. The game's what?
66% off right now.
Yeah.
$13.59.
There's even a bundle, like a VR essential bundle, and it's part of it. It's one of those games you gotta own.
Dude, $90, that looks like a good set of games.
Yeah, it's got like Gorn, Space Pirate Trainer, Budget Cuts, Thumper I've never heard of or played.
Thumper's a very popular one.
I've never seen it. Like, it's Super Hot VR. It's fun.
Yeah, Super Hot VR.
Freaking what's his face? Chosen was killing it with that. He couldn't stop playing that at the DLG con.
Space Pirate Trainer is one of my favorites. It kind of took a backseat to Beat Saber after that came out, but I still think it's...
I think that was one of the earliest ones. I don't know. I feel like the VR games have gotten so much better since that.
It's also been upgraded a lot.
Yeah. That's one thing about a lot of the VR games are, like, even though they came out in 2016, they keep adding, like, huge updates and adding, like, Arizona Sunshine had a minor update, but it added the Valve Index, like, controllers. So you can actually flip people off now, and it actually, you know, it's pretty cool.
Super important.
Dude, we flipped each other off. That's pretty cool. But I really recommend it. It's a really fun game, and it's short, but that's what you're gonna get out of VR games right now.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, but it's very fun. And then the voice acting in that game is really good. That guy just talking to himself the whole time, talking about, like, he calls the zombies all Freddy's.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, look at this, Freddy's such a like retard or whatever, and it's just super funny stuff he's saying. And then he's trying to get it, and, you know, he's trying to get out of he's trying to get to Arizona because he thinks that's where everyone is. So it's like
looks like he's in Arizona.
So he's like, but he's trying to get to like
a certain city.
So it's like a certain city, yeah.
Gotcha.
But dude, it's really fun, man. It's really cool. There's little parts in the game that are just they're just fun. And then there's multiplayer, and there's also Horde survival mode, which is really cool. You just see a bunch of zombies coming at you, and you're just going crazy on them. But I think everyone should if you're buying a VR, getting ready for Alex, and you should get it now so you get the free Alex out of it with the Valve, and then get the free little perks.
That's why there's shortages out there.
Yeah. So like,
does the Index have a microphone built into it?
It does, man.
Do all VRs have that? Didn't the one you had, the Vive?
I don't remember.
The Vive did have it too. Yeah. I never used it with Discord, but it's pretty cool. Whenever I turn on my Vive, mm-hmm. My Index, Discord automatically goes, would you like to switch devices? And I put yes, and I just go into a channel, and I'm just talking to Duck the whole time, like Darth Duck, like if I was using my mic and everything. And it sounds super good. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's the one that, like, they got away from noise canceling because people are getting startled and shit. It's good to be able to hear your surroundings as opposed, and your in-game surroundings.
At the Index time. Has a thing where if someone waves, it turns on the webcam so you can see them.
Oh, shit.
Well, not the webcam.
Like in the top corner or something?
Because you know how it has a sensor in the cam in front or whatever? Yeah. So, yeah, whenever you, like, I still haven't used it. I've never used it. You know, I play in my room and no one really comes in. But it says, like, wave detection thing. So if someone, I believe when they wave, it does like a background image of someone being in front of you, they know. Which is, I think that's freaking awesome, dude. Because my brother did scare the shit out of me when I was playing Beat Saber, and he was like, "Yo, bro, I need something." He went like this, and I jumped. Like made me scare the crap out of me. But Arizona Sunshine, check it out,
Bobby. I'm so glad that like you thought that Pixel Puzzles was like it should get top billing over Hand of Fate 2. I know it's an older game, but anyway. The Streamlabs, I just want to talk about them because...
Streamlabs or Streamlabs?
Streamlabs, sorry.
Okay.
There is a Streamlabs.
Yeah.
Streamlabs, I want to talk about their experimental ways to sell you games. I checked them all out today. I don't think they're all going to be sticking around, but there's 6 different variations right now. Because, you know, they have the curator... No. What's that thing that you go through? I always forget the name of it, Bobby. Your feed. Your queue. And I like that, but I think they're trying to improve on that by using different things. So they have the community recommendations, and there's some, if you click on that, Bobby, you can see that there's like different settings that you could put on there. So basically it's just showing you the most recent reviews that people have written up, but then you could go to show advanced controls and you can switch it to people that have played over 100 hours, over 10 hours. You could enter tags like roguelike or whatever. And then what time frame. So last week, month, whatever. When I went through it, the thing that kept popping up that of note was like Star Wars. A lot of people are writing positive reviews on Star Wars, except for Bobby. All right. I'm just going to burn through these because there's so many of them. Let's go to the next one, Bobby.
The next what?
The next experiment, I think is what they call them. If you click back. Yep, and you go down to this one, Deep Dive. This one, let me see what it was. Oh, this one is like you put in a game, and then it cross-references that with the Steam video game library for sale, the store. And so... Bobby's putting Pixel Puzzle traditional on there, and we'll see what pops up. Nothing, not one similar game. Not one.
It says similar tags: HD Poker, Alpine Ski, Pixel Puzzles Junior.
Oh, hey,
fun for the whole family.
It is, and so I didn't find it. And this is a good point, Bobby. Thank you for doing that. I didn't find it very similar. Like I put Counter-Strike in there and some game, some games like Squad and other things were popping up, but not everything that I would think. Or maybe it's because that it was excluding games that are in my library. Maybe that's why. But this is kind of cool. If you like just finished game and want to find something very similar, this is a good way to do it, I guess. Next one, Bobby.
Wait, what was that? The Book of Breasts and what? I just saw breasts.
I don't know.
Oh, man. I missed it.
The filter results, you don't even got to click on it. It just basically means that when you search the traditional way, if you scroll down, it's infinite. Like, it won't ever end. I'm sure it ends at some point, but if you just keep scrolling, it's just going to keep showing. It's going to keep giving the next best thing forever, thousands and thousands of games.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I hate about Steam right now? That's fucking sucks. Is just my store is combined with all the safe, like, normal games, and then like my weird, I like to just look at nude pornography type games.
Yeah,
I'm very curious about those games. I still don't own a single one of those VR, but I got very curious and I just keep clicking on them. And I hate how my store and like my suggested is like, you know, all these competitive FPS shooters and then a bunch of porn games for VRs. I hate that. I wish I could separate.
You can. If you go on, well, are you talking about your queue?
Yeah.
You can exclude certain tags. So I've already excluded like
porn.
Yeah. Stuff okay. like that.
Yeah. I need to do that.
Yeah. That's a good way.
It's just really messy with me. And then like I noticed a lot of you guys on DLG. Mm-hmm. This guy owns this game. Oh, I know who you are. Dirty little boy.
All right, go down, Bobby. new and popular is a show that the computer just, you know, Steam AI puts together. And it puts together like mini trailers. Like it's 25 minutes of games, but each game is only about 6 seconds, I would say.
Didn't you think it was a little overpowering when we were watching this?
I kind of, well, one of the things stood out to me, but it really, I think they're going off of like first impressions. Like what's going to get you to click? Not to buy, but enough interest that you're going to click on it. And there was one in there that I was like, oh, I want to see what this is. And so I wouldn't say I liked it the most, but I liked this one like the second most. Anyway, yeah, it's showing you four different things at the same time and only for about 4 or 5 seconds. And then it moves on to the next one. This one I really liked the most, the interactive recommender. You have to sign in for this one. Don't worry about it, Bobby. It takes your existing library and it analyzes it, and the AI finds you games that you're most going to like, depending on, you know, that it thinks with its machine learning or whatever. And you can do new, there's a two graphs that you can move back and forth. You can do popular to niche and then older to newer. So you can mess around with that and like try to find something, you know, right up your alley based on how, your hours played by which games. So it took like TF2 was my like number one game. So I was getting like a lot of first person shooters and stuff, but check it out. It's definitely worth checking out if you have any time played on Steam. I think that was my favorite one. Hmm. The last two the last one doesn't really matter. Micro trailers, they're not even playing. They're 6 second trailers. It's like, why would you do this one if you could do the long one where it's just playing them for you? They weren't playing for me. So
Nino Kuni.
Well, cool. I think the idea behind the micro trailers is instead of like a storefront, are they going to implement this into the storefront? And I think they did it for the sale. Like you see this whole array of games, and as opposed to it just being a thumbnail, you hover over it and the video starts playing.
Mm. We did miss ones, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't a very good one either.
Hmm.
Anyway, check them out.
Cool.
It's, you know, it's at the top right of your screen. There's a lot of tools they're trying to try out, and I think the more you use it, like if we all use the recommender, I feel like they're going to go towards that. You know, whichever gets used the most, they'll probably do.
Mm-hmm. All right, not a lot of news happening right now. We're kind of in a lull of news, especially around Black Friday. Everything's revolving around sales right now.
So I went through like 3 pages of sales before I found any fucking news. So we're going to talk about cows. Why not? In Russia, I guess some farmers are trying out VR for cows.
Wait. I was expecting like an intermission or something. I've been wanting to pee for like fucking ever.
Let's do it right now.
We should do it after this. We only got one news article.
God damn it. I need a drink too, Bobby.
Well, we can do that before listener questions.
All right,
we have left after this.
Sounds good.
It's been known for a long time that happier cows produce more milk. But you also got to keep them like sitting in one place. So how do you fix it? You do VR, I guess. So they're seeing if they can make happier cows with this VR unit. And man, I can't get away from the idea of the Matrix, right? Aren't these cows? If this works out and they start doing it, it's basically the Matrix for cows, isn't it?
Like, yeah, pretty much.
Like they're getting resources out of the organic thing by making it happen or happy. It's fucking crazy, man. We're living in the future. VR cows.
VR cows.
All right.
Squadron says, what kind of porn are they showing the cows?
Okay, so I guess we can take a break here. And when we come back, listener questions. And we're back. So before we get into listener questions, I wanted to plug that this Friday, we're going to have another one of our little mini episodes. I interviewed the developer of Guard Duty, and it was great. It was a shorter episode or a shorter interview than some of my other ones, but it was really good. So definitely check that one out. Good.
Times. Which one is Guard Duty, Bobby? I haven't listened
Guard
to the
Duty
episode.
Guard Duty was the point and click adventure game.
Oh, okay.
Where part of it took place in the past and part in the future. And what was so funny, this was addressed later in the interview, but as soon as I got on the line with him and started talking to him, I'm like, oh my God, he sounds just like the main character. And I didn't want to say like, hey, like right off the bat, did you voice the main character? Turns out later, yes, he did. But the main character is kind of, you know, a dim-witted idiot kind of guy. So I don't know.
Is that why you thought it was him?
Jesus no,
Christ,
no.
Dude. Damn, dude. Jeez.
Wow.
Is he listening right now?
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
No, he's
rude,
got a dude. British accent.
So rude. But, yeah. Go play your puzzle games.
Okay. So listener questions. We're going to start calling this Zap and Warconius Ask Us Questions.
So damn.
We encourage anyone to go on our Discord, and you can ask questions there. And we appreciate Zap and Warconius always coming through with some good listener questions. I'm going to try to organize this as best I can so it flows well, but we'll see what happens. All right. First one from Zap. Have any of you had a really negative experience with a celebrity, and what was it?
You guys go first.
Man, I have several. Like a bunch. Bad.
But negative ones?
Yeah. It's a lot of them are my fault because I'm too drunk. A lot of them are... Wow. I got invited because I lived in LA for a little while and I met a lot of people because, you know, I was trying to make it in the industry, you know. But I think the worst one was dealing with, and this was actually not like none, because I have stories. This one's just like a normal story. I'm sorry. this was, I worked security for a while and this was back in San Diego. This was before I lived in LA. Work security, and this was the year that I don't remember if it was Iron Man 1 or 2. Iron Man was out, Zombieland, and some Jimmy Fallon stupid movie. Anyways, the reason I'm saying them is because I was escorting these celebrities to and from the main hall, Hall H, at Comic Con. We were like, you know, in between like the walls, pretty much at the convention center. It's really neat. It's like you get to see everything on the inside. It's like, whoa.
It's a whole maze.
Yeah,
there,
it's a
right?
maze, man. Yeah. It's crazy. And so I remember I met Robert Downey. Nicest guy in the world. Hilarious. When we walked him through the crowds, he was just like, no, let him come to me. And it's cool taking pictures. Nicest, funniest person ever. And I was with Woody Harrelson.
Damn, dude, you met a lot of people.
And is it Woody Harrelson, the guy from Zombieland?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Woody Harrelson and Emma Stone, they were the ones that I walked with. And then the other guy, the little Jewy guy and the little girl.
little Jewy guy.
He has a Jew bro. It's awesome. Yeah. I love it.
What's his name, Bobby?
Oh, God, what is his name? God. Social Network.
Social Network.
Social Network, yeah. Guy. Yeah,
we
yeah.
know who we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
And that was fun. And so and then that was cool. He was super nice also. They were all super nice, hilarious. Then Jimmy Fallon, dude. Biggest piece of shit I've ever met in my life, dude. He's so fake. Like, it's ridiculous how fake he was. Like, oh my goodness. Like, the first time when we meet him, the first thing he tells us is, it's just like, hey, keep everyone the fuck away from me. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, dude, you're wearing a green suit. Like, he was wearing a whole green fucking suit. And yeah. I was just like.
Like a green screen suit?
Yeah, a green screen suit. Yeah, yeah. He's wearing that. Something promoting some other shit.
Yeah.
And he was just like a dick. And then people would come up to him and you'd be a dick. And then like, and it's just, everything he was saying was just being a dick. And then I straight up told him, like I got, because I got pissed off. Like I feel like it was like almost like bullying. I feel like almost like it was just weird. It was uncomfortable, and I kind of accidentally said like, you know, stop being a dick, or like I forgot how I said it, but I called him a dick, and he just looked at me and he had me removed right away. And that was the last of my escorting people at Comic-Con. And then I was working late shift from fucking like 10 at night to like fucking 7 in the morning.
Dude, this is so funny that you say that, because I was just thinking last night, because out of all the clips, I probably watch more Jiddly online. I watch Jimmy Fallon clips probably the most, for sure, of the Late Show, right? And then I was thinking to myself, swear to God, last night, I feel like he's the least narcissistic of all the late night guys, but he's apparently not. Unless it's all fake.
It's all like fake, man. The guy unless now he changed and it's like, you know, he's a different person. But like, I straight up called Jimmy Fallon a dick, and it felt great. And he's a
little
bad
dude, no?
Huh?
Little dude, no?
Yeah, he's not really that big. He's just normal size, I guess. Okay. I don't know. But he was just the meanest person ever.
You were defending the people, dude.
I was, but it was just, man, that guy's such a...
Did you lose your job?
No, I didn't. I didn't, because the way he got me removed, he was just like, hey, you know, I don't want to work with him anymore. That was it. He didn't, at least he wasn't that much of a dick, yeah. I guess. So you're not that much of a dick, Jimmy Fallon.
You didn't get arrested, huh?
But no, of course I'm going to get arrested.
Because then you'd be a Jimmy Fallon. Bobby?
Wow. And that guy we could remember, that was Jesse Eisenberg.
You know what? Yes. Thank you, Bobby. I'm Jesse now. That, honestly, quick thinking on that one's pretty good.
Thanks.
Unless you just had it in the bank for like ever. Which then that's weird. Yeah,
I just have Jimmy Fallon jokes.
Yeah, because you were like last night you were watching. You're like, I hope someone talks about Jimmy Fallon in about a time where he almost gets arrested.
I'll say this,
and I'll say Jimmy Fallon. Boom, done. Comedic genius, guys. Just letting you guys know that's how it works here.
Yep,
all of us.
I have. I don't think I've ever met a celebrity.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
Like maybe athletes or something, you know, like local athletes, baseball players, but not even in like in public, like at signings and stuff. But yeah, dude, I've never just like ran into a famous person.
The coolest guy was Nick...
Carl?
No, the guy from Grandma's Boy.
Nick Schwartz?
Nick Schwartz. That guy was the coolest guy to hang out with for like, I think, an hour and a half. That's what we hung out with.
I feel like that dude is that dude anytime you run into him.
He was super cool. He was the nicest guy. And it was just like, we had a spot.
Who's the guy that you said goes to the taco place and sometimes he would be really friendly and other times he would be not friendly?
Which taco place?
I don't know. When you were in L.A. And you're like, this super famous dude would come in.
Well, no, like the Barney's Beanery, that would be Nick Swartz. And that was
Nick Swartz. Okay, yeah.
Because sometimes he'd be like, don't touch me. Like, don't even come close to me. But other times, he's really cool. And
dude, I got to put up with so much.
Yeah, I can imagine. But then he's not that big of a guy. You know, he's totally a B-lister. He's like in between B and A.
He was pretty big in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, he was. That's what he really was. He was, you know, he was like every Adam Sandler film, and like he always had a great little, cool little funny role. But that guy was really cool, and he would like get us drinks, tell us about a bunch of stupid shit that happened, and like when I was filming this is what happened. We just laughed. We just make us laugh the whole time. And then whenever some like dumb drunk asshole would come over and say something stupid to him, he was the quickest guy to get back at him. It was hilarious. Like, and I don't know, it was nice. But there was times where like we'd get there and he was just like you know, probably like shitty day.
I'm gonna send you this clip of him lining up this podcast. I keep talking about it. They light each other up at the beginning of every episode, right? Mm-hmm. Rip Your Drip, where they make fun of each other. Yeah. Okay. And then this guy he comes in another level, dude. They can't even come close. Like, it's just, he's so good at fucking,
dude,
he's
great.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a nice guy. A nice guy.
Don't you mean pipe me down lotion? That joke was for two people. So nobody ever, huh, Bobby? I had a intimate time with the cast of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
But that was so cool.
But that wasn't bad. It was really good. I won't say
any
what
negative
it was.
Stories.
Yeah. I would say I don't want to call them out, but like,
I did. Fuck Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, but there's no repercussions. Like, we interviewed Evan Lottie, and like I didn't bother the guy afterwards at all, except for like really big things, like when we did the WSD thing, and just like cold shoulder, like I never existed. So I don't know if I did a bad interview. It was so long ago; it was like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he probably doesn't even remember who I was. But that was pretty much it.
Hmm.
Just getting cold shouldered by somebody I thought was my best friend.
Oh, no. No, dude, I have crazy stories. Like, just one day when we're on Discord and we're gaming, just remind me of just some stupid story. And my best one, I'm just going to give it to you right now. And my friends know about the story, and they just go like, you lucky motherfucker. And yes, it was really cool. But I got to hang out all because, you know, of a chick. But thanks to her, I got to hang out for one night with Leonardo DiCaprio, and that was the coolest fucking story ever in my life. But
I haven't even heard the story.
It's really cool. I don't share it as much, but it's really neat.
I feel like
really cool.
People around Leo, they don't tell stories. Like, there's no rumors about Leo.
So
it must be because they're having such a good time.
So there's a lot.
Respect him.
So a lot of it. Oh, man, this is a podcast. I don't have people listen to this shit, so I don't know.
You know exactly how many people listen to it.
Oh, I know.
Thousands of people.
I know, but it's like, what if I'm like, look, the random person just hears and they go like, what? And then they'll just like, I get blasted right now for something for that night. But damn, that was a good night. That was a good night. I did have to put my phone away.
Is this showing up as weird? It's yellow.
Oh, is it like...
So this, yeah, it's...
Oh, you can't see it? In the...
Yeah, it looks a little different.
Huh.
It's yellow. Yellow has green in it.
Bobby, that's super... Well, I guess you don't go out to things very often. Well, no, I don't know.
How do you never like had like a celebrity moment?
Yeah, never... No. Never ran into a celebrity, not even during like Comic-Con or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know if I'd even recognize a lot of them. But like if out in public.
Yeah.
All right, next question from Tylor. Not a question, but FYI, supporters on Patreon are called patrons.
We've heard this a bunch of times.
Yeah, we say it sometimes. I've called them patrons.
I don't know. You're right, but...
We should probably change that in the show notes. I just like go off the teleprompter here. I'm like Ron Burgundy.
So you're right, but, you know.
Unless you are one, you better not say... Oh, you
are one. Are you one? Huh?
Are you feeling lucky, punk?
Huh? I'll get Jimmy Fallon on your ass.
Okay, next question from Warconius. Have you guys checked out Steam stats lately? They have a lot of cool data. I was looking at average download speeds by country. Turns out Canada and US have similar averages, but most of Europe is terrible. Japan and Norway is some of the best. Australia is embarrassingly bad, on par with Peru and India. So this is part of Steam has a lot of statistics. A lot of them have to do with hardware as well, but this one particularly has to do with bandwidth. And you can sort it by ISP as well and see what most people are using and what speeds they're getting through that. But it is kind of interesting to look at. So you can see where the best and the worst places are. And it's all the places you would imagine. All the super remote places have a pretty poor connection.
What else can we find out here, Bobby?
Not too much on this specific
Steam. No. I mean, like, other stats.
The only other thing I found somewhat interesting was on the hardware. I mean, obviously, who's playing what games and, like, the most people playing the games. But the hardware one, I like to look at every so often. So 75% of people are using an NVIDIA card. Ooh,
that's
80% of people are using an Intel processor. And here on VR, so this is new. I haven't checked it since VR was a big thing. But HTC Vive looks like it is... about 34%.
Oh, damn.
Oculus, the various Oculus ones are about 50%.
Probably because of the price range, I would imagine.
No one owns the Pro, apparently.
So the Index, now keep in mind this is very new, so it doesn't start right here.
Sorry, the Vive Pro is the light blue, no?
No, that's the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, there's a lot of shades of blue here. Yeah, this is the Oculus
Rift. The Rift S is picking up.
Is the Pro really that... Nobody bought the Pro?
Well, it was $1,000.
Dude. Yeah, and they probably already had the Vive. And you can look at the newer stuff is doing the worst. So Valve Index, I mean, it's growing, but it's only at 5%. 5% of people with a VR kit have an index.
And it's still $1,000 for the whole kit.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it's price, and it's also just how long it's been out. You know, if you're first to market, then obviously you're going to have a big market share. But yeah, that's an interesting spread on VR. And you can go to, if you just search like Steam stats, it'll come up, or steampowered.com/stats, I think is the website. But yeah, it's cool to stop by and check those out every
day. The Vive Pro is only, it's $1,000 for just the headset. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because it was like $1,200 or $1,300 or $1,400 if you want the 2.0 fucking sensors, the base, whatever they call it, and the controller with like a different color.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I haven't played them both. But technically, on paper, I believe the Vive Pro still has a better screen.
OLED.
Okay.
The OLED. And
then, versus the Index. But Index, their tagline is very specific. It says fidelity first.
It has like a wider range. And then
it feels better.
It feels better.
Yeah.
But you don't have those true blacks.
Right.
But when you're playing these games, you don't notice it as much.
By the way, QLED and OLED are the same thing, right?
No.
QLED's like Samsung's version of it. It's supposedly not as good, but it's probably kind of the same thing.
I should have talked about this on hardware, but we...
I own both.
Yeah, you talked about
and
that.
And OLEDs are definitely better.
OLEDs are definitely better.
We bought 2 QLEDs for the house. All the TVs got switched around. Luckily, all the hooks on the back just hooked on the other ones.
Nice.
So much less work.
So you guys went Samsung with like, what, the Q60s or Q70s, Q80s, Q90s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know which QLED, and I right now that's Cyber Monday.
I got to say, I wasn't blown away by the... No. After buying it, like, I wasn't blown away.
Yeah, you're not
blown away. Are you watching on it? TV?
Like, no, I found TV? Some UHD content.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like... The Planet Earth stuff always looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah. So one thing about Samsung that I dislike is just that they're not open to Dolby Vision, which is like a really awesome just way of... It's, more than anything, it's color correction. Like an amazing like array of colors in the way they're... Dolby Vision is awesome together with Dolby Audio, Dolby Atmos. But Samsung does not do that with their TVs. LG does. I know like other... Like the... I think... There's this TV brand called TCL.
They're coming up quick and good.
Right there.
I really recommend TCL. Like this is a great TV. The new ones.
It's like the new Vizio.
Yeah, dude. But it's better than Vizio. Right now for Cyber Monday, they have a 65-inch QLED TCL. OLED. No, QLED TCL.
QLED is Samsung's thing, you said.
Exactly. But okay. TCL bought Samsung's technology because LG only sold to Apple, I believe, and Sony. Sony has OLEDs too. They bought their technology, and Sony sells the same TV that LG has, but for $5,000-$6,000 instead of because it's Sony. And people still go, "Oh, Sony's probably better than LG." It's the same technology, dumbass. It's just fucking buy the LG; it's cheaper. Anyways, TCL, you guys should look into that. Right now, actually, for Cyber Monday, I believe at Best Buy, it's $699 for a 65-inch TCL QLED. Great reviews. I've looked into it, like, all over the place, because that's the TV I want to buy my dad for Christmas.
Yeah.
And probably the best TV for that price, hands down. I can really say TCL QLED TV. For the price right now, get it, because it's normally $800. Right now, it's $600, $700. Get it.
Great TV. In the last year and a half, I've bought 3 TCLs because on a much lower scale than Bobby, people in my dumb family looked at me for tech. So, as far as TV buying, I was like, so I bought the first one just because they wanted the bottom dollar. So I was like, just grab this one because
there's several versions of the TCL. So.
Yeah, of course. But that car, that, it's held up and it looks great. And then I bought another one and then I bought another one and nobody has any complaints about them. So, DL Gaming brought to you by TCL. It's a Chinese company and they're just doing it cheaper.
Yeah. So they did so well last year that they're getting huge. So like for, what's that, that the one in Las Vegas in January.
CES.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now they have this huge room and all this new stuff to come in. They actually have a $3,000 TV now because they actually have like this other technology.
They have higher end stuff.
Yeah, they have higher end stuff now. But they have grown so much because the quality of their panels are great.
Oh, Bobby, I sent you the link. You weren't interested, huh?
For a $1,000 one, yeah.
That's the one I bought.
Yeah, I don't. Nah, I'm fine with my TV.
Honestly, the TCL.
I've been going to the movies a lot more, so I don't feel as bad, you know, having a.
Dude, I'm thinking setup. I gotta fucking return that, or I'm not gonna renew the.
Yeah, you aren't really using it.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know if I'm gonna renew it either, but I'm using the hell out of it.
Renew
right
what?
Now.
The AMC. Movie Pass.
I haven't used it lately either. What the hell? What is it? Was it just like a?
$24 a month, and you get to see 3 movies a week. Any movie, any screening.
Yeah,
like 3D. Even premium.
Yeah.
Like the Dolby Vision, the IMAX, the 3D, anything. Mm-hmm. You can watch these at AMC theaters.
But here's the thing: like, I probably go twice a month. That's cheaper than that because the AMC 10 over here is $10. So.
Yeah, I know. Like if we go down to Palm, it's like $5 a movie every time. Period on at AMC. But I do like the convenience of like, oh, let's go watch a movie. Grab the app, boom, done.
Yeah.
And the thing is, all you need to do is watch one Dolby Vision movie or one like.
It's pretty easy to get your value out of it. Yeah. A movie ticket is what like. Usually when I go, it's like $17.
Yeah, same.
Or something. Because
I always go Dolby.
I don't know why this one. It's so dope.
Well, the AMC has like a $5 Tuesday thing.
Yeah.
No, this is every day. Hmm. Best movie, $10. Regal. AMC 10. You know which one?
Regal.
No, AMC 10.
The one in Chula Vista?
Old Chula Vista.
Oh, yeah. They made it $5 now? Kind of like
$10.
$10.
But it's super dope. Hmm. Like,
oh, yeah, they have nice chairs. Yeah, reclining chairs and everything. Yeah.
The whole thing. It's fucking awesome. That's cool. The only place I watch movies. Yeah. But anyway, I guess we can't say it officially until we record the first one, right?
It's just the Dolby, man. Like, if go to Paul's Avenida, pay the $18 or $19 for one Dolby movie, and then compare it to the AMC one, you see a difference. And the sound. The sound's ridiculous.
I do have to say, with the new TVs, the new QLEDs that we got, the sound is incredible. For a flat screen. Because in the past, the speakers were in the back shooting towards the wall. Mm-hmm. The wall would absorb it and then shoot it back, right?
Shoot it back, yeah.
But now the speakers are behind the screen and the screen vibrates. You don't see it, but it's part of the speaker system. And it just resonates right off of the screen, which is really, really nice. Mm. That was my favorite thing of it. All right, moving on.
All right, another one from Morconius. Best game soundtracks of 2019. My choice is Outer Worlds. Second question, do you think game soundtracks have become better than movie soundtracks?
Hmm.
Oh, man. That's a hard one.
Hmm.
There's been a lot of, you know, Guard Duty had a great, I talked about how it had a great song in its main menu. Very simple tune, just layered with different instruments. I really liked that, and I thought it was a perfect fit for that game. But also, Disco Elysium has some good tracks in it as well. And as far as soundtracks being better in games than movies, I mean,
Budgets aren't the same. I believe.
You'd be surprised because, you know, I was talking to Minnie, and this actually was not part of the little mini episode we did.
But when will you ever get John Williams or like...
Well, you see, that's kind of the whole thing I'm about to explain here. Like in Jedi Fallen Order, they recorded that with the London Symphony, and they recorded it at Abbey Road Studio where they recorded the original Star Wars
songs. Oh, nice. Okay.
So, you know, that's a really cool touch. He was talking about how great the sound was in Jedi Fallen Order. And when I had streamed it a little bit, I had actually turned the sound off because I was listening to other music. So it reminded me to turn that back on. But I think soundtracks in games are getting a lot better. And I think movies aren't getting worse, but they're just getting a little more bland because a lot of movies are scored with like kind of an innocuous soundtrack. Well,
the whole music thing, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like dramatic music, generic dramatic right, music. Right. Like you
well,
don't
yeah,
have.
But then again, if you have John Williams on there or like yeah, Hans when's, Zimmer, you
yeah,
know,
when's the last time like, John Williams has done something though?
Well, that they do what a, they do.
He did Star Wars,
right?
Didn't he? Or was it Zimmer? Like both Star Wars, I believe. It was either Zimmer or Williams. Yeah, the new ones.
I don't know.
No, they're still doing music. I actually saw Hans Zimmer live.
All I'm saying is
crazy.
They're doing what sells and doesn't cost a lot. because they're trying to save, right? So for all the event, like,
I don't think it's a matter of cost, though.
You don't think so?
No, I think it's
cost.
More dramatic effect?
No, I think the music is kind of becoming less of a personality in a movie. Like, everyone knows the Indiana Jones song. Everyone knows the Star Wars themes. A lot of people know the Back to the Future theme, but
nobody knows the Avenger theme.
Yeah, and it has one. It has kind of like a prominent one, and I can't really think of it right now, but they do have that one when they all assemble, it plays. Like, someone could probably hum that, but, you know, Iron Man doesn't have one. Ant-Man doesn't have one. Like, it's a very generic soundtrack. So, I think that's just kind of the trend this day. I think it's kind of like a stylistic choice that they're going for.
But then again, if you hear every song from both of these composers, like, you know, John Williams or Hans Zimmer, you know what movie it is exactly, because these guys are
Jurassic iconic.
Yeah,
it's part of the movie. It's like another part of the movie. And another thing that used to be big in movies too was they would license a song. They would have like a song that either they had licensed the rights to, or they would contract someone like Danger Zone in Top Gun.
Originally,
Kenny Loggins wasn't supposed to sing that. They had somebody else on contract to do it, and then they ended up going through Kenny Loggins. But that would get released alongside, and it was kind of like this double-headed attack, so, you know.
But so that's old school money hand.
Like, yeah, that's like really old school.
Like a lot of like glad handing, like, let's all make money. Like, we got this thing that's going to make money.
So what's happening right now a lot with movies is they're working together. You know, film companies are working together with records because, you know, with record companies, because they're kind of, someone owns someone and everyone owns everyone, right?
Yeah.
So it's always like, oh, we're Fox. Well, Fox is Disney now, right? Anyway, damn it. Sony. We're Sony. We're making a Sony film. Hey, what Sony artists do you have? That's good. You know,
yeah, of course.
Let's throw these guys on here, and that's,
and
what,
why wouldn't you? If we were them, we would do the same thing.
Exactly. So that's what everything's become.
I mean, the style has definitely changed, and I feel like even though if John Williams does do the new movies, it doesn't sound like John Williams. Hum me a tune from Rogue One. Hum me a tune from The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody knows what that is, and I think. And I'm not saying it's good or bad.
That way, just stop.
Yeah, it's not good or bad.
It's not good or bad. It's not good or bad. Like, the trend right now is just to have music more in the background.
Yeah,
you know, and not have, because, dude, in Indiana Jones is like bum bum. Like, dude, it's in your face.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you can't avoid that, and they play it at like a big scene or something, and it's very much a part of the movie. But I don't know. Now I think they've toned it down a little bit.
Because I feel like a lot of it's like a lot of the importance that we gave to the movies before, and what we get to them now. I feel like us, maybe our age, appreciate movies a little bit more, and half of the time I'm in the movie theater and there's people watching a movie and they're younger than us, half of the time they're on their phones. It's ridiculous. Even in these are, and it's, I don't
all
know,
right, old Ray,
dude, we're older, we care about these movies a little bit more. It's like, I think it's the only time where I really put my phone away and I'm just like, I'm gonna appreciate the fuck out of this and
film.
And everyone else is just kind of like, oh, this is so good. And people are like even recording parts of the fucking movie and putting it on their Instagram story.
That's why I go to the expensive movies, rated R movies. Dude, it was so nice being on vacation and being able to go to a movie like in the daytime. Well, I guess kids were on break as well, but like you don't have the kids in the audience. When,
guys, if you start your own businesses, this could all be yours. I'm saying, take the risk. Bobby, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I'd go broke and lose my pension and my benefits, health and dental.
Yeah. What was the last time you went to the hospital?
The dentist?
I feel like the moment if I just quit and then I have to start paying for health insurance, then like, I feel like that transition from like,
yeah, dude, getting, you know how much, like, health insurance is?
It's ridiculous. It's like $500-something.
Yeah, dude, like the one I have would be $600 a month.
Yeah, same. Yeah. So I work for healthcare, so it's completely free. So and I have like the premium of the premium from my healthcare company. And if I did not work for them, it'd be super fucking expensive.
Here's the fucked up thing about the whole thing. I worked 20 years in retail that had great fucking benefits.
Never
healthy as a goddamn ox.
Yeah, of course.
Nothing ever
of
broke
course,
down.
Of course.
As soon as I started my own business, shit starts to break down.
Of course, dude. Not only that, we get older, dude. We get older. It just happens.
Yeah, but you don't know this since 20. When you're like, 25,
I don't remember. You've gotten life insurance when you're
the
younger.
Only time to go to the
when you're younger.
The only time to go to the ER is because I got in a car accident, which happens to me a lot. I get hit. I get hit by a lot. People love my car. Driver. They just love fucking hitting my car for all these fucking. Right now, I need to go to urgent care because I have like a big ass red mark on my. All right,
let's move on.
Anyways, it's really weird. I'll show it to you guys later.
No.
On Discord.
All right. Let's see. Where was I? Zap, what are your thoughts on the different game streaming services? Have you had an opportunity to check out Stadia, Xbox Game Streaming, or EA Origin Streaming?
Are they out yet?
Yeah, in some form or another. You know, like Stadia, you can only if you are into it.
Yeah. But Xbox and EA Origin? I think
they're in beta.
So
Xbox One is in beta.
I didn't know that EA had one, to be honest with you.
No, I didn't know either.
Where's the DLG pool on this one?
If we only had a PC gaming podcast that we can find out all this information.
I know, right? If only someone could figure this out.
Well, we knew about Xbox Game Streaming. They talked about it a lot at XO19, and that one looks pretty good. And we know that Xbox has the best subscription service.
Recycled, are you saying that that NVIDIA has their own streaming service? Is that what you're saying?
They had been trying to do that for a long time. Oh,
they had the Blade, right?
Yeah, they had that whole Blade thing, and I don't know whatever came of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like there's so much that's up in the air right now. I'm just like, you guys figure it all out. When it gets good, call me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not in any rush.
Yeah, I mean,
we just solidified our old man status right now.
No, no. It's not because... I don't think it's an old man status. It's because we have rigs. They can handle everything out there right now. And we're good.
So, I was at a party on Saturday, and somebody mentioned that I had a PC gaming podcast. Somebody came up to me and he's like, oh, what do you think of Stadia? Like, blah, blah. And I was like, he's like, aren't you the exact market? And I was like, well, I have a killer rig now. When it's time for me to upgrade, I'll take a hard look at everything. But until then, like, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time JP Diddy watched our podcast, but he caught me in a clip, like, stroking and then grabbing balls. I can't hear what he's talking about.
Is that from this episode?
This one is right now.
Is he watching?
Wait, are you wearing the shirt? Yeah. That's right now. Because I wear this all the time because it's my uniform, pretty much.
JP, why don't you say shit in the fucking stream?
I'm like, yeah, and then I'm just like, balls.
All right.
So good.
Zap's got another question here. What's
Damn it, Zap.
Worst game you played this year that wasn't Anthem?
Oh.
Dude, I read this early on, and I really thought long and hard on it. Like, I don't have a very good memory, so I don't know. I really don't know. This Fission X, I know it's really recent, and I don't want to shit all over the game.
I'm going to be really honest with you.
I didn't get it, man. I did not get it.
The worst game I played this year that was an Anthem, and it's going to be
controversial.
Borderlands 3. I bought it.
You can fuck right off, dude. That's a great game.
I bought it. I played it with like Fastidious, with Darth, with like a bunch of other people trying to go through the whole thing. I played it for like 2-3 hours nonstop. Everyone's super excited. I'm like, yeah, let me get into this. And it was just like,
you can fuck right off.
Oh, dude, you were talking about it on the fucking podcast, and this people were playing it and they're on it. And I'm just like, I played this shit for like 3 hours and I want my 3 hours back. I probably will never touch Borderlands 3 again.
You're an asshole.
It was so whatever.
I'll give it that game. It was like so a solid 85. 82.
I'll give it a 70 just because the C and it's, you know, it's average. It's an average game. It did not hook me. It did not grab me. And
what the fuck? Borderlands 3? Like, you're upsetting people, dude.
That's one person.
And me. Two people.
It's not the worst game. Obviously not the worst game. But I just want to say, like,
like, because of how hyped up it was.
Yes, how huge it was and how we were expecting this shit to be awesome. I played, I was just like, you know, I'd rather be playing fucking Jigsaw over here, you know? It's just, I'm joking. I wouldn't be playing Jigsaw. Yeah. Fuck that.
Do you know how much you built up Outer Worlds and never played? You still haven't played it.
Because I need to dedicate time to this baby. This is like...
You had a week off, dude.
I know. And you know what I did? I worked on my company. It's like, I want to quit my job and I want to have my company and then the rest of the time just play games for the rest of my life and review them and just be happy. Happiness.
Happiness. Bobby?
I can't think of a worse game. Worse sounds so bad. I mean, Borderlands 3, I guess. Like, I totally agree with that.
I was expecting him to say Star Wars or some shit.
Star Wars. I mean, you know I like Star Wars.
Yeah, I know.
So.
These are the people I'm locked in a cage for, guys. Like,
shut up.
They're both saying Borderlands 3.
Because it was so basic. It was just, here we go again. It was like, 3, really? So much hype, so much awesomeness, and you're thinking this is going to be a great, awesome, brand new game. No, let's just give Claptrap a new fucking voice and make everyone play it again. And everyone played it again and went, oh my God, we're playing Borderlands again. This is cool. This is fun. I'm excited. And then it just went to be like, what's the next game that's coming out?
I support Borderlands.
Where's the next game coming out next week? Let's go play that instead, because this is all right. I'm not going to say it sucks.
What solid B game is coming out in 4 days?
Yeah, I'd rather go play Halo again.
All right. So following up on this, Days asks, which game set to release in 2020 do you believe will be the next hype letdown like Anthem? Or which one do you hope it isn't? A lot of Anthem really taking a beating this episode.
Every episode. I think it's a fine game.
God, I don't know.
It really has all the doohickeys and bells and whistles.
I can still go on about Anthem and see
The spirit of the question is, what's going to drop the ball? And I think it might be the Final Fantasy VII remake. I feel like it's not going to fly. I hope it does.
There's something about it that makes me think the same shit, dude.
Yeah.
Everyone that's played it has said, it's great, but then... episodic. Like, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck? Wait, is it episodic or episodic?
Episodic.
See, again, like, saying something like huge letdown. Like, I don't know. Like, most games aren't huge letdowns or disasters or the worst. Most games are just, like, bleh, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just going to throw this out there. Half-Life Alyx?
Maybe. That's harsh. People are spending thousands now on the index.
Yeah, well, 5% of people, apparently.
Bobby, I haven't said this in probably 20 years. Why don't you sit on this and spin, motherfucker?
I think, dude,
how are you?
That reference is about
All know that we're all going to be playing Alyx the second it comes out. It's going to be the number one thing. Everyone's been building up to.
When is that coming out? March?
March, dude. I honestly, hands down, I think it's the biggest thing ever.
Here's my impression of Bobby choosing between Alyx and Puzzle Simulator 3000.
Look, man, it comes out in March. So does Doom Eternal.
Puzzle Simulator.
So does Doom Eternal. Less than a month after that, Cyberpunk comes out. All right. I'm just guessing a lot of thunder is going to be stolen. A lot of hype is going to die.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And just the whole VR thing is like, you're really limiting your audience. So I don't know. We'll see.
You know what a game I think it's going to be a letdown? I don't know. Doom. There's a reason why it got pushed back so far. Something happened.
He pushes against technology. It's like somebody's like, guys, I invented the flashlight. And he's like, but you can hold two torches at the same time. Same time, guys. Like,
Hey, man, if I was okay spending that kind of money on VR, I probably would at this point, because I think it's a great time to get into it. It seems like it's really just solidified. So, yeah, dude, I'm not against VR, but it still feels very niche.
I do feel that Alyx will be... It has to be great. It's impossible. I feel like Valve would not release this or give us this hype or give us this way. It's just... They know it's a good game. They're not stupid. It's fucking Valve.
For them to say the word flagship.
Yeah, man. It's just, it can't be bad.
The worst part about it is it might not
be the greatest single player story game ever, but it would be the best VR game in hands down.
Well, I'm interested to see how the whole 10 to 15 hour length
and game that's works long.
In VR.
And that's
a long time. And we've never really had VR games like that, so I want to see how that plays out.
There are games that are not VR and are only single player that are not that long. And they're all right, or they're great. You know, just a lot of games that are 10 to 15 hours long, and they're great. You know, this one's a VR game, but To the question, I think the one that might be a letdown is Doom. I feel like Doom might be a letdown. Off. No, dude, like there's a reason why.
I feel like there's not a lot of hype.
I feel like you're all turning on me, man.
There's not a lot of hype behind it.
I'll fight you all.
It got it's like it got pushed back already. First of all, number one.
At the worst, Doom Eternal is more of the same. I mean,
it's gonna be a lot of the same.
Like, and I do gotta say. Fucking Bethesda's been letting me down after.
Exactly. That's the part. It's like, but like, fuck, hold on, give me a second. Bethesda might like be thinking, holy shit, we've been fucking up a lot. We're bringing out this game. We're supposed to bring it out, what, November? It was supposed to come out November or December? And it was just like, we're not ready. We need to, let's fix some shit or add some shit. We're at a point of the game where if we need to add something or fix something, we're good. It's the last 1% that takes Bobby's always said that quote that he says, like, the last 10% or 1% is, like, the hardest part, the longest part, and that might be it right now, but like that.
Dude, I'm totally okay with dates getting pushed. Witcher 3 got pushed back like a long time. You know, I'm okay with dates getting pushed back. That's like a developer saying, hey, this is not ready to ship yet. And if a developer can say that and not, I mean, that's not very Bethesda like to like not ship a game on time or to wait not. Until it's
they'd done. Rather just do it and just fuck you but over like really, Fallout 76.
Yeah, or Fallout 76. Like, here, you figure the game out. You tell us what the game is, you know?
I'm not jumping in until that fucking year two or year one patch comes out, whatever the fuck it is, with the NPCs and changing the story. That's when I'll jump in. Have we talked about on the podcast how they brought out, you know, like, you pay now to play Fallout 76?
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, one of their selling points was, like, no NPCs.
Yeah.
And then if you really think about it, it's like, oh, that saves them about 70,000 hours of programming.
Yeah, dialogue. You know what I mean? Yeah, dude. And it took them a year to be like...
Even the people in the crowd were like, woo. Like,
yay. No NPCs. I'm the NPC?
I don't know what that means.
Dude, it's because, honestly, it was kind of genius. The way they thought about it was kind of genius. It's a little bit like, oh my God, we all start our own stories, guys. I'll be an NPC.
We're all the hero.
I'm going to start a store, and I'm going to sell shit, and come over to my store when I'm online. I'll be like, hey, what's up? No, that's fucking stupid. You're not going to give me a quest. I'm not going to be on when you're on. I'm just, it's just, they didn't really think it through, and that kind of sucks.
It was very experimental.
Yeah, very. And now,
but now. But the problem is, Bobby, with the whole thing is they charged a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
Had they.
Full price.
For an experiment, you give it out for free, or you do a very, like, introductory rate.
But it's still a Fallout game, too, so just that name alone will sell copies.
Yeah.
That's what they said in the boardroom.
So they charge full price for the game, then you got the game, and you're like, fuck this, and then everyone stopped playing it, and they're like, man, you know, well, we got our money's worth, probably. They probably did. Like, but wait, that wasn't the plan. It was to have people playing this thing for years and years and years. Oh, shit, let's give them NPCs. So we're like, let's work on it. It's taking forever to add the NPCs because they were supposed to start probably because it said it was like the year two patch or whatever, which it came out in November of last year, so it should have came out in November this year. That didn't happen. And then their answer to everything is like, hey, because a lot of people complain about not having enough space to hold your shit. All the, like, you know, your materials, like a chest. Mm-hmm. You can only carry like 600 pounds now with like a weight. If you pay $10 a month, I think it's $10, $15 a month, now you have a private server, you can like have everything you want and store anything you want, and now you can have the most fun you want in the game. Now they're charging people for it, man. That's where I just went, fuck this. It's just, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not paying $10 to finally have the game that I should have been given from the very fucking beginning.
Yeah. And So... Days was saying, what's the worst game? The worst game is believing in a big company this year. Like, Bethesda was my favorite.
I can't hear you.
Bethesda was my favorite company going into 2018.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And then Blizzard was probably your favorite company. Mm-hmm. And, like, so the big letdown this year was
I thought we all jumped ship to Microsoft.
Yeah, dude. That's where I'm at.
Making good moves, man.
Killing it, dude.
We're all on the Microsoft train.
Yeah. That was the worst game this year, is losing your heroes.
Hmm. All right, next question from Hoosier89. We mispronounced his name the other day.
Yeah.
What is your favorite bourbon? I never drank bourbon.
Do you know the differences?
I don't.
Bourbon?
Yeah.
I feel like bourbon's sweeter. I don't know. That's pretty much what gives it for me. I know every time I ask for an old fashioned, they use bourbon. Emerald Beef, which is on our Discord, has been...
he knows his shit.
He knows. He has a... Not anymore. He had a bomb-ass channel on YouTube about bourbon and about, awesome. Like, they reviewed bourbon like a motherfucker. Really great.
Yeah.
But the only bourbon I do is the one... Oh, my God. I forgot the name of it right now. The red wax on top and the fucking Makers.
Makers.
Yeah.
And I buy Costco stuff.
Yeah.
It's so cheap and so good. Like... I don't know. I get into the tastier stuff the more, like, you know, for the professionals, I'll try the expensive ones, the $50, $60, $70 bottles. And I'm like, ooh, that's rough. I don't like that. Like, why do I have to go through pain to get drunk? And so I just keep going back to the Costco one. I love it. I think it's so good. It's like 6 Age Year or something like that. It's $16 for like a gallon. It's almost the price of milk.
Oh, man.
Can't beat that.
Someone just liked a post from August 27, 2015. Someone's really going through my Instagram.
Oh, jeez, dude.
Damn. Hey.
Creepers.
I have a girlfriend. Send me those DMs on the side, yeah?
All right. Final question from Zap. What's your favorite Christmas ornament? Do you have any unique Christmas traditions?
Well, I guess we're Mexican. I don't know if that's different.
Well, there are different. Oh, so the big one. So you guys probably don't know this. Mexicans wait until midnight and then open their presents, as opposed to going to sleep and then waking up and then everybody opens the presents. I know there's not any time there for Santa Claus to come in.
No, there is. In the morning, Santa Claus comes in.
Yeah. Then the kids go to bed. Then they wake up again.
And there's more
presents. And then there's presents.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Santa presents.
Yeah.
But yeah, waiting up till midnight's really fun.
And we celebrate on the 24th. We don't celebrate the 25th.
Right. So Christmas Eve is way bigger than Christmas Day. So we're the ones filling up the movie theaters for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just how it works. I think it's a better system. I don't know, but
yeah,
the
system that I think go. We take more advantage of the fact that we will work on the 26th. So it gives us the 24th to get fucked up.
Yeah,
and that's like the creepy uncle coming in and talking about these stories, and then someone trying to fight each other at the middle of the night. And then we got like mariachi coming in and shit. And it's like, it's fun, man. It's just Christmas in Mexico is fun. Oh, and then you got to shoot bullets in the middle of the night just for no fucking reason.
Which kill people.
Which might kill someone. But then again, it doesn't kill.
And as far as ornaments?
Mythbusters fucking changed now.
Roberta.
Oh, dude. That tree.
Roberta, that tree, dude. It's 12.
The fuck?
This is no hyperbole. 12 feet tall.
Rockefeller ain't got shit on this tree.
Yeah. This tree is ridiculous. This is like... I should put it Insidious under it and do like a fucking Insidious sale.
I should bring my wide angle and you can just see the difference.
It's ridiculous. And then one of the ornaments was just for me. She bought a fucking, like a little trailer, like a fucking camping trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's an ornament. She's like, did you see this one? I was like, yeah, I saw that one. Cool. And I saw 400,000. Oh, by the way, who do you think took care of everything from 7 feet up on a ladder, a precarious ladder? Like vibrating while my tremendous weight was on the top step. Yeah, that was this guy. Three. What do you call the thing on the very top? Just star.
Star and angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those. Whatever. The top ornament. She had six of them. And I put them all up. Yep.
Fucking the moment I talk about Instagram, Sniper goes on and likes one of my pictures from 2014 and goes, wow, and throws me hearts. I was like 50 pounds lighter in this picture. Fuck yeah, I was. I think right here, I weighed 190. And right now, I still...
Oh, Dominicans wait until midnight as well.
Really?
So, yeah. I think in Spanish, fuck this all.
Clown, really? You're Dominican? I did not know that. Hmm. I didn't know that. Then again, that's why there's so much love. Clown. Hmm. The Latin love. Wait, is Dominican considered Latin?
Minnie just showed up. All right, can we wrap? Or we'll talk about...
Was there one more question? I think I saw
that
one
was
more.
That was it.
One more for Days?
No, that was just someone had copied the original one later. Yeah.
All right. I like how he says someone. He's so nice. It was definitely me.
What's everyone playing next week?
Well, are we going to decide to do this thing or not?
I think we should. I think that would
it's
be
a great idea.
I think we should decide before Friday what our game of the year is.
Well, I know what mine is, and I don't want to say it. But then
I don't want to say it yet.
But then, do you both have to play it? Like, how do we do this?
I like how my game, it's just I can just give you the login, and you can just go on it when I'm not on, and that's fine. Like, it's because...
Right.
Because Steam is just harder, so it's on another launcher, right. So that kind of throws it off right there.
So if we do that, if we each tell each other what we think our game of the year is, and then we all play it, and then we come to a decision at the end of December, that's the idea? Okay, yeah, let's do that.
I might change my mind by the end of the week, but it's because I'm between two, man. I'm between two. It's just I have these two, and... they're both on separate launchers.
I don't know if Outer Worlds is the one.
And then Outer Worlds, I'm supposed to start playing it Wednesday.
But we're already in December, dude.
I've set myself a date to play Outer Worlds now.
So what's a good time frame, Bobby? 5 hours, 6 hours?
Time to play?
Yeah.
Depends on the game. But yeah probably between 5 and 10 hours at least.
So let's split the difference. 7 hours.
Okay.
7 hours of everybody's, because if you have to do two,
I'm gonna be fucking playing jigsaw puzzles for fucking 7 hours, dude.
No more homework. And by the way, thank you for a whole month of no Rogue Legacy. I'm pointing at you because I'm disappointed in you.
I played like an hour of it. It's fine. You know,
it's
been an hour. I played like an hour. I did jump on it like two or three more times. I can take a picture of it on my thing. It shows you I played like an hour.
You're supposed to stream it.
No, we stopped streaming. It's like a long time ago. The last time we... Oh, because it was a horror game. You had to stream that shit. We all wanted to see how the fuck you got
scared. That felt way safer.
So aside from those games, what other games are you guys going to be playing this week?
Definitely some more Hand of Fate 2. Legend of Bumbo. Probably it.
How is... Like, you gave us like a review... But I haven't heard like an updated review, and now that you really, really, really got into it with like the update and stuff, I haven't really heard much of it. Man.
It's a very good puzzle game.
You should bring it back next week. Talk about
it. It's a very good puzzle game with a very beautiful aesthetic.
Yeah, right, a bunch of shit.
I was listening to an interview with Edmund
McMillan,
and he was saying that like those were actual all pictures of stuff put on actual cardboard. Put into the game, and they had to like sunbake the cardboard and shit. And I was like, "Oh fuck, that's crazy!"
Like stop motion type, like kind of like when we used to get. Remember when we used to get claymation games?
Yeah, I know
like,
what
that
you're
was
saying.
Fun,
but I think that's for cardboard is. I don't know.
Claymation was a fun game.
It's technology beyond me. Bobby, TF2.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to. When I interviewed the developer of Guard Duty, you know, I always ask him what games. I always try to ask people what games they're playing, and he had a great recommendation, Dark Side Detective. I'll bring it up here.
How come you didn't bring 80 Days up?
Who?
80 Days?
Yeah. Did you bring it up last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked a lot about that
last week. Last week.
Yeah. Detective. Oh, Dark Side is one word. So this is a point-and-click adventure game that really reminded me a lot of... Thimbleweed Park a little bit. It's very Twin Peaks. If you listen to the soundtrack, it's definitely got that 80s synth.
I like that.
Ray, I think you have this game. It showed me that you had it. I'm pretty sure it's part of a Humble Bundle. So I'm sure I can find it cheap.
I remember when this came out. I remember that diner shot.
Oh, I need to sign in, I need you to sign back into mine so I can download at least one game from yours so I can always have it, and then you do the same. I've noticed that if we always have at least one game downloaded from each other, all you have to do is start up that game and it sends the permission and then it automatically goes, you're good. So that's all you got to do. So it's make it like the 100 megabyte game and just always have that installed. Don't ever delete it, and we can always have each other's libraries.
Nice. Yeah, so I'll probably be checking out this, and then, I don't know, a little bit of whatever. We'll see how this week goes.
Edgar Allan Poe. To work. That's cool. H.P. Lovecraft. That's dope.
Yeah, it looks good, too. I like this.
Dude, Thimbleweed Park, no joke, if I can actually just have the patience a little bit, because the story was, I'm still curious, but I would rather watch.
Bobby can play it for you.
No. I would rather watch someone play it all the way through, and I'd be very entertained than me having to click through everything and doing everything.
It might have been long enough for me to play through that game and still be able to figure out the puzzles without remembering everything. But yeah, it's a long game. It's like a 10-hour game, which is long for a point and click.
Yeah, I played it for 3-some hours. And I was just like, oh, fuck, yeah, man.
It's hard to give a time on those games, too, because if you get stuck, like, you could spend 20 minutes on something that could take someone else 10 seconds.
Yeah,
right.
So it's hard to put a time on those. But yeah, that's what next week's looking like for me. Did we go through everyone yet?
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. I'm going to play a little bit of Pokemon. Just a little bit of Pokemon.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, just a little bit. Sorry. But I am. Wednesday is my official Outer Worlds day.
All right. So good luck. It's raining all day Wednesday.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm probably putting 4 or 5 hours. If any time I go to sleep, but I'm planning on going home and just plugging it in and just sitting down and playing for a while.
Speaking for Bobby, Ray, and myself, Jigsaw Puzzle Titties.
Detective McQueen.
We have a meeting after this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Live.
For what?
For the DLG Con 2020.
We got to start promoting that.
Yeah, we do. We're coming up to the new year.
Well, we can't promote it until we know the...